Wir sind SBS German. Weitere Inhalte finden Sie auf sbs.com.au/German.
Heute ist National Coming Out Day, Montag, 11. Oktober, und dazu begrüße ich über Video Professor Paula Gerber von der Law School Monash University in Melbourne. Hallo, Paula.
Hallo.
Paula ist eigentlich Paula und Gerber Gerber. Sie haben mal als Kind in Deutschland gelebt, für 2 Jahre in Köln, sprachen damals Deutsch. Wie es dazu kam, hören wir im zweiten Teil dieses Interviews. Aber geboren sind Sie in Australien und Sie sprechen eigentlich ausschließlich Englisch. Deshalb erlauben wir es Ihnen gerne, auf Englisch zu antworten. Ja, dieser National Coming Out Day, warum braucht es ihn heute noch in Australien nach all den Fortschritten der letzten 10, 20 Jahre? Why do we still need a National Coming Out Day?
Well, we've had it for 33 years, and you might have thought that by now we wouldn't need it anymore. But unfortunately, it is still the case that a young person coming out, or even an older person coming out, is an incredibly brave and difficult thing to do. The fear of rejection by family, by loved ones, is still very real and a common experience of young people today.
Speziell jetzt im Lockdown, war das schwieriger? Was it more difficult now in lockdown?
Absolutely. The LGBTI community talk about family of origin and family of choice. And often the family of origin might be hostile to the person because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. And so they find their family of choice, their friends, their support group that get them through the hard times. But in lockdown, they are often having to live with their family of origin and sometimes having to be in the closet in that environment. And it can be a hostile, homophobic place for them. Their family might not use their preferred name or pronouns in the case of a transgender young person. And so we saw a significant spike in mental health problems for young LGBTIQ people during lockdown.
Haben Sie ein konkretes Beispiel aus Ihrer Forschung? Do you have a practical example that you've encountered in the last few months, maybe in your research or otherwise?
Yes, there has been research done, studies that were done in late 2020, and they talked about the difficulties that young LGBTIQ people had not being able to access mental health services, because you can imagine that all this has to be done by telehealth during lockdown. Trying to find a space where you can talk to a mental health professional about the problems that you're experiencing might be very difficult in a family situation where you don't have the privacy that you need in order to be vulnerable and talk about these issues with a mental health professional. We also heard stories of young LGBTIQ people who lost their jobs and had to move back in with their parents because of their financial situation, and so went from being in a very open, accepting environment, perhaps in a shared house, to going back in the closet or at least into a hostile environment in the home.
Montagabend, wir sprechen mit Professor Paula Gerber von der Monash University in Melbourne. Gesetze zu ändern ist ja das eine, nicht wahr? Es wurde gemacht in Australien, kulminierend im Referendum zur gleichgeschlechtlichen Ehe oder Ehe für alle. Ein Referendum, das zwischen dem 12. September und 7. November 2017 abgehalten wurde, also vor ziemlich genau 4 Jahren. 62% der Australier stimmten damals für die Ehe für alle, 62%. Und seither sind homo- und heterosexuelle Paare vor dem Gesetz absolut gleichgestellt. Aber das Gesetz ist das eine, die Akzeptanz in der Bevölkerung das andere, nicht wahr?
Yes, and I'd actually argue with you about the point of do we have equal rights? Because there are areas where we still do not have equality, and the most obvious example of that is in the anti-discrimination laws, where it is permissible for a religious institution, school, to discriminate against a person on the basis of their sexual orientation or gender identity. So that means a student at school can be expelled for being gay, a teacher can be sacked for being transgender or being gay, and there is no recourse to the law because the law says that is permissible. So we need to change societal attitudes and to create a more equal culture, but we also need to still work at law reform.
Geschieht das wirklich? Also, it's not a beat up. These things really happen. Teachers get the sack, students
They
get expelled.
absolutely do. There is a teacher sacked in Sydney in the last 12 months, and there was a teacher in Perth who was fired from a Baptist college when they came in and announced that they had been to a gay wedding with their partner. The teacher in Sydney was sacked because she announced very proudly, very happily, that she'd become engaged to her female partner.
Und in Sportvereinen gibt es da auch Diskriminierungen, die endlich ja, halt nicht stattfinden sollten. What about the situation in sports clubs? Is there discrimination happening there as well? And you know, other examples, or what can we do?
Yes, it absolutely is happening there as well. I mean, it's not a surprise that there is no out AFL player anywhere in the whole football league. There is not a single player who has come out as gay. There is in the NRL, but not in the AFL. I've recently published a book called Critical Perspectives on Human Rights Law in Australia, and there is a chapter in there on human rights in sport, written by Kate Sear and Liam Elphick, and they talk about the AFLW, the Women's Sports League, and the problems of transgender players who are being excluded from the draft because of the fact that they are transgender. So it is very real. It can also almost work a bit the other way in that people assume that women who play in the AFLW are gay, and there are a lot of heterosexual women who play sport as well in that league. But it's certainly there are more out gay players in the AFLW by a long shot than there are in the AFL Men's League.
Wenn wir ganz kurz bei der AFL bleiben, das sind ja 18 Mannschaften. Jede Mannschaft hat 18 Spieler auf dem Platz, natürlich noch doppelt so viele auf der Ersatzbank. Das sind also mehrere hundert Spieler, alles Profis natürlich. Und überspitzt formuliert, wäre es nicht möglich, dass keiner dieser Leute gay ist und sich auch nicht dazu äußern möchte, das auch nicht zum Thema machen möchte?
I think the statistical probability of there not being a gay player in the AFL is very low because all the research suggests that 10% of the population are likely to be in the gay side of things, and even a greater percentage if you include bisexual individuals. It is far more likely that the fear of discrimination and the stigma that will be attached to them, and also that they will essentially have to become the poster child for LGBTIQ AFL players. And that is a big weight to carry on your shoulders. You're known as the gay player rather than just the player who happens to be gay. So the first person to come out is likely to have the most difficult experience. After that, one person coming out makes it easier and normalizes it for others to come out. To make this a bit more personal, I'll say that when Justice Michael Kirby of the High Court of Australia came out as gay, it was very a great relief for me, and it made it easier for me to be an LGBTIQ lawyer, because the highest court in the land had an openly gay judge. In 1999, yes, he listed Johann as his partner in the Who's Who. So that was when he very publicly came out. But you might recall that he was vilified by a member of parliament who accused him of inappropriately using the Commonwealth car and chauffeur to pick up boys, and did all that under the cover of parliamentary privilege. And I suggest that no High Court judge would have been attacked like that, but for the fact that he was gay. And the Attorney General at the time, and I cannot remember who it was, but it's his job as the, you know, the highest law officer of the land to defend judges. They cannot publicly speak out and defend themselves against accusations like this, and he did not do that.
Ihre Community, Ihre Meinung, SBS German.
Sie hören SBS Radio am Montagabend nach wie vor mit einem Gast. Über Video verbunden bin ich mit Professor Paula Gerber von der Law School der Monash Universität. Wir sprachen über den National Coming Out Day. Wir wollen aber auch über ihr deutsches Erbe sprechen, wie eingangs dieses Interviews angekündigt. Und ja, deshalb sage ich jetzt Paula Gerber und nicht Paula Gerber. Wie kommt das? How does it come that you have this German-sounding name and that you lived for 2 years in Germany as a child?
My father was Dr. Paul Gerber, and he came to Australia at the age of 14 as a refugee, having fled Köln on Kristallnacht with his mother. They went to Belgium, and she did a fake divorce of my grandfather in order to reclaim her Belgium citizenship, because she was originally from there, and all the quota for German refugees had been filled, but not for Belgium refugees. So Australia took my father and his mother, and they came here by ship, and I was born and grew up here. He then decided that he wanted to find out whether he hated the Germans as much as he thought he did for what they had done to his family. His father died in Auschwitz, and his grandparents all perished during the Holocaust. So he took my mother and the three kids back to Köln and did his doctorate there. And we were all put into primary school and quickly picked up the language and became fluent in it, so much so that my brother, who was a year older than me, when he came back to Australia, had to repeat a year of school because he couldn't speak English well enough.
Und hat Ihr Vater damals eine Antwort auf seine Frage gefunden?
He did. He still was not a big fan of his home country, and I later in life applied for a German passport because I was living and working in London under a 2-year working holiday visa, and I wanted to stay longer. And I spoke to an immigration lawyer, and he said, well, your father was stripped of his German citizenship by laws that were illegal, and so you are entitled to German citizenship. And I obtained a German or EU passport, and my father was not very happy about that. So I think the scars of what was done to his family and to his childhood were very deep.
Hat sich das auch sprachlich ausgewirkt? Hat er sich vielleicht geweigert, in Australien mit der Familie Deutsch zu sprechen? Did he maybe refuse also to speak German in Australia to his family because of that?
I think that was part of it, but he did make us all go in the Goethe competition every year and recite a German poem, and I was the only one who didn't win. My sister and brother both won. I think the best I did was come third. But yes, he was not a big fan of speaking the German language. It was very interesting when he went back, because I remember him asking someone for directions, and he asked in Deutsch, and they answered him in Deutsch, but they said in effect, turn left at the third Ampel, and he said, what's Ampel? And when he'd left, there hadn't been traffic lights in Germany, so his German was also frozen at the level of a 14-year-old in 1939.
Und hier in Melbourne, wurden Sie hier als Deutsche wahrgenommen in all diesen Jahrzehnten oder als Jüdin oder als Australierin?
A mixture of all. So I often said I think it was inevitable that I was going to become a human rights lawyer because, as the gay daughter of a Jewish refugee, I've been fighting for the disadvantaged, and hearing stories about, being persecuted my whole life. So I certainly identify as the gay daughter of a Jewish refugee from Germany. Very proud
Interesting.
to be so.
Das bringt uns zurück zum National Coming Out Day, 11. Oktober. Was wünschen Sie sich von den Australiern am meisten, damit Schwule, Lesben, Bisexuelle, Transgender und Queerpersonen hierzulande mit weniger Diskriminierungen konfrontiert sind als in den letzten Jahrzehnten? Dass sie ja für voll genommen werden als gleichwertige Menschen.
What I would like is more open-mindedness, more what we call allies, the people who are not members of the LGBTIQ community but who are strong supporters. The people who voted yes in the marriage equality survey back in 2017, and to not be silent. The standard that we walk past is the standard that we accept. So when you, if someone cracks a gay joke, call them out. If you see homophobic behavior or comments, call it out. If there's an opportunity to advocate for greater equality for LGBTIQ people, then you should be part of that advocacy movement, part of that campaign. I mean, there were a lot of compromises, I guess you'd say, that were negotiated in order to achieve marriage equality. And one of them was the canning of the Safe Schools program, which was a very evidence-based, research-developed program to try and eradicate homophobic bullying in schools, because that is where a lot of young people come out, is in the school environment. It can be a very dangerous place for them to come out. And the government, everywhere except Victoria, stopped funding that program and said, we're just going to do a general anti-bullying program, not specifically for LGBTIQ youth. And yet, it's LGBTIQ youth who are the majority of victims of bullying at school.
Sie haben vorhin gesagt, you said, we should call it out. Wir sollten das öffentlich, gerade an Ort und Stelle, zum Thema machen. Wie? How?
Speaking up, finding your voice, being brave, just like gay people and trans people are brave when they come out, is to say, hey, that's not okay. I don't think that's funny. I don't think you should be making jokes about these people. I don't think you should be speaking about that. We are all equal. We all are deserving of respect. And so it is about not being silent.
Professor Paula Gerber, vielen Dank für dieses Interview.
Dankeschön.
Liken, teilen und kommentieren Sie unsere Inhalte bei facebook.com/sbsgerman.